Greetings, friends. We're delighted that you've joined us on this Sunday morning at Olive Online. Glad that you could connect here with us. It breaks our heart that we're not able to gather in the worship center with all our people. We're glad that you have tuned our way as we come together heart to heart, mind to mind, soul to soul as we connect around the gospel. My good friend Jamie Evans is over to piano. He's going to lead us. We're going to sing. And then this morning, we're going to be baptizing. Now, we normally wouldn't do this because of the virus situation and all of that. But Ethan Jago, who works on our staff team here, his two sons. So this is a family baptism. He's going to be baptizing his two boys right after this first song. Then I'll come back, share a few things with you. We'll pray together before Jamie sings. Then we'll open the Word of God. Again, thanks for coming and joining us. If you'd like to sing along with Jamie there at home, you'll see the words, and we'll just worship together here in this time of being connected online. Jamie, thanks for being in your place. Let's worship together, my friend.
We've waited for this day, we're gathered in your name, calling out to you. Your glory like a fire, awakening desire, will burn our hearts with truth. You're the reason we're here, you're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise.
Sing your presence. Your presence in this place, your glory on our face, we're looking to the sky. Descending like a cloud, you're standing with us now. Lord, unveil our eyes. Sing, you're the reason. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing.
Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise.
Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord.
Sing it again, show us.
Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord.
Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, part of our praise. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise.
Flowing from your heart,
flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise.
I've got two for baptism here today, and these two are very special to me. It was about 20 years ago that I myself was baptized in this here baptismal pool. Here I have my daughter, Sky. Sky, have you accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
All right, Sky, based off your public profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in His likeness, raised to walk in the newness of life. All right. Next one I have here is my son. He's my eldest, Caden. Go ahead and take a seat. Caden, have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Caden, based off your profession of faith and your testimony, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, buried in His likeness, raised to walk in the newness of life.
Amen. What a good day. That's a first for this pastor to have online baptism. I guarantee you, never done it that way before. And as I said a little earlier, we probably won't be doing a lot of that simply because of the virus scenario. But that's Ethan Jago. As he said, he was baptized here years ago, and now he's on our team baptizing his two children. Grateful to the Lord for that good moment here online at Olive Baptist this morning. Thank you again for tuning our way and connecting with us. I wanted to tell you that in the morning at 6 o'clock, I'm going to begin 20 days of prayer, leading us right up unto the Easter season. And every morning at 6 o'clock, I'll be opening the Word of God for just a few minutes, giving a devotional thought, some things to pray about, and then encouraging you to go and be at prayer. I'll do that Monday through Friday next week, 6 o'clock every morning. Hope that you'll tune in. Join us and be a part of 20 days of prayer. We'll do that those 3 weeks. You can pray by yourself on the weekend. Come back and be with us online on Sunday mornings as we share the Word of God in an abbreviated worship time on Sunday morning. So I encourage you to be a part of that. If I had this place full and we were talking to all of our folks, then this would be the offering time. And so I want to encourage you that as well, you continue to be faithful in your giving. You can do that several ways. You can text in, you can give online, you can mail that in, or if you want to call us, and we mean seriously by this, if you'd like somebody to drop by, pick it up, some of our team next week, be glad to run by your house as best we can. Take us a little while to get that done. If you can let us know, we'd be glad to come get that. And thank you for being faithful, giving online through the mail, dropping it off here at the church. So continue to be faithful as we do ministry here in this place called Olive. Well, just before Jamie sings for us, I want to lead us as we pray, and I want to be praying for you. We are in unprecedented days. These are difficult times for many, many people. Some that are losing income, some with tough jobs. I've been talking to a lot of people just in the community, and I seem to bump into homeless people, hurting people. And their angst is really high. There's a lot of anxiety in your home and anxiety in them as well. A lot of fear with people, but the Bible says, fear not. So I want to encourage you today, cry out to the Lord, and as we pray together, we will fear not. After I pray, you continue to worship with us, to give, as you can do that. Jamie sings. Then we'll open the Word of God to the 90th Psalm this morning and share together with you. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for all that have connected with us here at Olive online this day. I pray that you will bless them richly, that you will meet their needs. And I ask you, Lord, that you would heal our land. I pray for that. I ask you for that. Unite churches together. Unite the people of faith together. God, forgive us where we would act as if you were dead. You are alive forevermore, and we cast our care over on you today. I pray that you would bless the church around the world. And I pray that you would bless our family called Olive here in Pensacola. We give you our heart and pray today that you'd be the way maker in our life. We trust you and we love you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Jamie, bless us as you sing.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. Sing that again. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Amen, Jamie. Thank you so much, my friend, for sharing with us today. Those of you that are joining us connected online, take your Bible and let's go to the 90th Psalm. Little did I know when I started preaching through the five prayers of the Psalms that we'd be walking into this coronavirus time, much of our nation and world shut down, people not being able to get out and do a lot of connection. And so I'm in the middle of these five prayers in the Psalms. There are only five of the Psalms that are called prayers. And today we come to what I call a prayer from the oldest psalm. This is a psalm from Moses, the man of God, as he is called here in Psalm 90. And we're living in a day like no other, at least in my life and in most of your lives. And tomorrow morning, I'll start that 20 days of prayer. And that's why we were preaching on these prayers from the book of Psalms. And so it's leading right up to that time. And if there's never been a time when we've needed to pray more as a church, as a nation. We're in the middle of online church and online praying, online giving, online worship as we come together. And we just are grateful to God that you're a part and that God is faithful unto us. And when we read this 90th Psalm, I want you to think with me. We're not certain where Moses is when he pens these 17 verses. Somewhere in that 40 years of the wilderness wandering after coming out of Egypt and taking the people through the wilderness, going toward Canaan and the Promised Land. Maybe he's on Mount Pisgah. I don't know. Maybe he's ascending to that place where he would look over and the Lord would say, you can see it, but you'll never go in. But he's reflecting back on this wilderness journey that he has taken, leading the people from that suffering and exile in Egypt, going toward promise. And in that, Moses writes about that when he says these words, Psalm 90, beginning in verse 1. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man back into dust and say, return, O children of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night. You have swept them away like a flood. They fall asleep. In the morning, they are like grass which sprouts anew. In the morning it flourishes and sprouts anew. Toward evening it fades and withers away. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we have been dismayed. You have placed our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days have declined in your fury. We have finished our years like a sigh. As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow. For soon it is gone, and we fly away. Who understands the power of your anger and your fury according to the fear that is due you? So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Do return, O Lord, how long will it be? And be sorry for your servants. O satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days you have afflicted us and the years we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants and your majesty to their children. Let the favor of the Lord be upon us and confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. Notice that very first verse in Psalm 90 where Moses says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. God is the place where Moses said the people were dwelling. Now just think about those 40 years as they were going through that wilderness wandering. No doubt, they were weary people. Set up camp, roll up the camp. Let's go. No, we stay. Let's move. No, we stay. Year after year after year, whatever that the light of God said, that pillar of cloud, that fire that came to them, when it would stand still, they'd camp, and then it would say up and go, sometimes a few days, sometimes. It was just weariness. You find yourself weary these days? But we don't know what's coming next. We don't know how long, when we go back to work, when we go back to school, things that we should do, we don't do. These virus days lead us to weariness. It's exactly what Moses was walking through in these days. You've been our dwelling place. Every generation. Not only were they weary days, they were dangerous days. These are days of danger. Can you imagine? They're walking. They've got children and elderly and everything else in between. There are noxious creatures all around them coming out of the desert. It's hot, then it's cold as they're walking through. Some days they had a funeral and they would bury their loved ones and then they would move on. Other days, ladies would be giving birth to children and they would rejoice, but then they'd have to rise up and move forward. They were in days of danger. We live in dangerous days. Babies being born, people coming to death. That's where we are, but God is our dwelling place. In every generation, weary days, dangerous days. Thirdly, they were changing days, days of change. You can just hear Moses. He's the great captain of them, and he's saying to them one day, "All right, let's go. Let's move it. We're going." And then all of a sudden, the cloud stops and says, "Nope, we stay right here. We're not moving today. We're staying right here." Nothing was staying the same. Sound familiar? That's where we are today. We're in these days of weariness. People are tired. Days of danger. Are you going to live or die? Will you get the virus? Are you around somebody that's got it? How often do you wash your hands? People can't find enough soap and that cleans their hands. And Lysol, that smell is everywhere. Danger days, and then changing days. We just don't know from one day to the next what is going to happen. That's exactly where Moses was, and he said, "Lord, you've been our dwelling place." Now, I want you to hone in on that dwelling place with me for just a moment. I want to show you four scriptures out of 1 John about when we dwell in God and God dwells in us, that He is our dwelling place. So let's look at these very quickly today before we see how Moses prayed. You're our dwelling place. First of all, in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 12, John says, "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us." God is our dwelling place. The first thing that happens, if we're going to dwell in Him, we must love one another. I want you to listen to me today. You need to love the folks in your family, but you need to love one another as you see each other in our community. Just reach out and say hello. I've talked to more people that I just don't even know in the last few days. I've just come under conviction that I need to show more compassion than ever I've shown. I'm telling you, these are uncertain days. And if you want to live where God's your dwelling place, love one another. Secondly, he says in 1 John chapter 4, the next verse is verse 13, where John says, "By this we know that we abide in Him." There it is again, the dwelling place. "And He lives in us." There's the dwelling place, "because He has given us of His Spirit." Your spirit life is more important these days than ever you can remember, that you cry out. You remember what I teach us here at Olive and for others. I did it just before I came to this service on this Sunday morning. I lift my hands and say, "Lord, I bless You. I praise You for the good things You've done." I put my hands out the side and I say, "Lord, I die to myself, dead to Ted." That's my prayer that I make every morning. "Lord, the biggest problem I got's me, dead to Ted." And then I move my hands right here. I do this every day, but especially on the Lord's Day when I come to preach. Oh, Spirit of the living God, fill me, fill me, fill the spirit life. Friend, you need to walk not in the flesh. You need to walk in the Spirit of the living God. He is our dwelling place in every generation if we love one another. He is our dwelling place if we are filled with the Spirit. 1 John 4, look down to verse 15, where he says it this way, "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God," here it is again, "He abides in Him and He in God." God is our dwelling place if we confess Him. You need to see speaking the word Jesus, 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 Jesus. I mean, make him known to people all around you. This is no time to hold back. This is a time to confess that Jesus is your Lord. Speak him. Speak his name out to people at your home and others all around you. What a great time it is to confess Jesus. You saw these two children that were baptized today. These young believers, or daddy, they made their confession when he asked them, have you believed? Yes, and they were lowered into the water. Maybe you need to think about being baptized. Set a time when you would be baptized. Well, I can't wait. We get back in this room. I don't know when we're coming back in here, but it's going to be like Easter. If it's Easter or it's not Easter, there will be churches packed, filled with people, and we will see scores of folks ready to be baptized. Maybe you need to be one of those, making God your dwelling place. But fourthly, I want you to see this introductory dwelling in Christ in 1 John, back to chapter 3 and verse number 24, where John said it this way, the one who keeps his commandments abides in him. There it is. He is our dwelling place, and he in him. We're in him. He's in us. We know by this that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us, if we keep his commandments. Not only do you need to love one another, have the Spirit-filled life, confess him, but you must obey what God has called you to do. Speak out his name, but obey him. When he tells you what to do, be about it. Be about what God has told you to do. He is our dwelling place in every generation if we obey what God has called us to do. Moses said that every generation, God is our dwelling place, and then he begins to cry out. And this morning, I want to show you three things that he prayed. I hope you'll jot these down. You'll see them with me this morning. Lifting right out of this 90th Psalm, there are three prayers that Moses prays. I want you to see them with me this morning. Number one, here's the first prayer. If we dwell in him and he dwells in us, Moses prayed, Lord, teach us. Lord, teach us. Look in verse 12. Lord, teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. We need to number our days. How long? How long is this virus deal going to go on? How long? Is it 2 weeks? Is it three? Is it 2 months? Will school start back on the 15th? Will it not start? We don't know that. The only day you know is today. And you need to number this day. It is the day the Lord has made. Be glad and rejoice in it. If you're not careful, I want to show you what's going to happen. Here's a progression in your life. The first thing that happens when we have a crisis like this, fear sets in. After fear comes boredom. Boredom. You sit there and you flip that television. There are no sports on that are live to watch. We ought to be right in the middle of the NCAA tournament, but it's gone. We ought to be getting ready for the Masters. It's gone. We ought to be getting ready for the Kentucky Derby. It's gone. All sports things, they're out. And you're just sitting there, you're watching stuff. If you're not careful, boredom will come in. But let me tell you, fear leads to boredom. Boredom then gives way to evil. It will lead you into some evil thought, into evil practice. You need to redeem the time that God has set before you. What a great time it is to spend time with family. You ought to be taking a walk with your wife, with your kids, your grandkids. Redeem the time. Lord, teach us to number our days. Spend some time with friends, maybe neighbors that you've not seen in a while. Give them a call. You ought to send a card, a letter, an email, connect, and just check on some people you've not checked on in a long time. Lord, teach us. Teach us to number our days. On this day, on this Sunday, it's the day the Lord has made. He's given you a full day. I don't know what you're going to do with it, but a lot of things you used to do, you're not going to do, and now you need to let the Spirit of God help you be creative as you walk forward and do what God has called you to do. Reach out to someone. Love someone. Spend some time. Pray together like you've never prayed before. Lord, teach us. Teach us to number our days. The second prayer that Moses prays in this text is found down in verse 14. The Bible says, Oh, satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Lord, teach us, but secondly, he says, Lord, satisfies. Jesus is enough. He is enough. And when Jesus becomes enough, then great joy comes in our life. Look at it right there in verse 14. Satisfies in the morning with your loving kindness that we might sing for joy, Jamie. That's what we got to do. We got to have joy within our... Lord, I've seen enough sadness these days. I've made it a vow, and I've done it all this week. I have purposed in my heart at least twice before noon every day to LOL, to literally laugh out loud. Joy is important. We need to have laughter in our soul. And I'm telling you, when Jesus satisfies you, there will come great joy. Matter of fact, I heard from a fellow pastor the other day. He said that he had asked a lady last Sunday, said, I didn't see you in church. And she said, well, I wasn't there. And he said, well, why not? She said, well, I didn't know about this virus thing, and I was afraid to come to our church that I'd give it to somebody or get it, so I went to another church. And I said to myself, she did what? And he said, yeah, I didn't want to make the people sick at our church, so I went to somebody else's church. Maybe I'll make them sick over there. Man, I couldn't help it. He belly laughed. I did too. And I said, well, whatever you do, you keep that lady at your church, all right? We don't need her to come to our place. Well, you just need to learn to laugh with people and have joy. There's a lot of sadness all around us during these days, but it's good to laugh. I don't mean trivial things where it's foolish, but I mean real joy. B.B. McKinney, he wrote the old song. I read this text and I started thinking about it, and it's called Satisfied with Jesus. B.B. McKinney wrote this song right before the Great Depression in the middle 1920s. And it said, I am satisfied with Jesus. He has done so much for me. He has suffered to redeem me. He died to set me free. I am satisfied. I am satisfied. I am satisfied with Jesus. But the question comes to me as I think of Calvary, is my Master satisfied with me? He is with me in the trials. Best of friends of all is He. I can always count on Jesus. Can He always count on me? Wow. What a question B.B. McKinney was asking. I remember this song. I was just a kid. I can just hear the church singing this song. I am satisfied. I am satisfied. I am satisfied with Jesus. But the question comes to me as I think of Calvary, is my Master satisfied with me? You say, preacher, why in the world would you sing that? Because I want you to laugh out loud every day of your soul. That's why I wanted you to do that. That's why I'm singing. I'm helping you have joy today. Jamie, do you know that song? Hey, just sing it for us. Just the chorus, how we're supposed to do it. I don't think I was too bad on that.
That's pretty good.
Well, amen. Let's sing it together. Just you and I. We'll do a duet.
I am satisfied. I am satisfied. I am satisfied with Jesus. But the question comes to me as I think of Calvary. Is my Master satisfied with me?
Wow. Lord, satisfies. Dear friend, I want you to understand, we say it and it's just trite sometimes. In the middle of this mess we're in, I'm telling you, Jesus alone is enough. He is enough. He can satisfy your soul. Moses prayed it, Lord, teach us to number our days. Lord, satisfy us so there'll be great joy within our soul. And then thirdly, he prayed in verse 17, Lord, favor us. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and confirm for us the work of his hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. Lord, favor us. That word favor is the word grace. Lord, breathe your grace. Breathe your grace on all of us. And then confirm and establish the work of our hands. Psalm 5 and verse 12 tells us the favor of God is like a shield around us. It's like the shield of faith that Paul spoke about. That's the favor of God. It keeps the flaming darts and missiles of the evil one from us. The favor of God, it shields us. Everywhere I walk, I hear somebody sneeze and I jump. And I think, have they got it? Is it coming? Don't get too close now. You got 4, 5, 6 feet. You got to distance socially from people. Well, the Bible says the favor of God is like a shield. I want you to understand, dear friend, you can't die till God says so. You can't get ill till God allows. He is like a shield. That doesn't mean you shouldn't be smart, need to take care of yourself, but I'm here to tell you, the favor of God is like a shield around us. You've got something yet to do in this life. God's not finished with you, and his favor is coming on you. Moses prayed it. Lord, teach us. Lord, satisfy us. Lord, favor us in these days. What you need to do is you need to come running to the dwelling place. The Lord is a dwelling place. People say, well, we can't come to houses of worship like this. This is not where God lives. God lives within us. We are the dwelling place. We become the sanctuary. Thank God for buildings like this where we can gather together and worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But you don't have to have a church house to have church. You have church right where you are if he dwells within you. And if you don't dwell within him, my friend, you need to come running to the Lord. No doubt I'm speaking to some people this day that you don't know Christ. Jesus died for you. He was raised for you. If you'd call on his name, you could be saved. Just ask him to come into your life, receive you, and he'll forgive your sin. Write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you'll be God's child. And when you can, after that, you ought to be baptized, like we saw these two in this service this day. Some of you say, well, Pastor, I do that, but I'm not fit. I wouldn't be dressed properly in my moral life to come walking into God being the dwelling place. You're right, friend. You're not fit, nor are you dressed properly. But I'm here to tell you that when you come running to him, he washes you, he cleanses you. And when you come into him, there are garments inside, and he will clothe you in his righteousness. Come running to him, and he will forgive you. He would save you. If you'd like somebody to pray with you about that, just to be encouraged, I want you to let me know today that you're calling on the name of the Lord. Now, here's how we do that here. You just take your phone and you text to the number 94000, 94000. Just put that in as the number. And if today you'd like to call on the name of the Lord, or you'd like to join Olive Baptist Church, you'd like to commit your life unto him, you just put in 94,000 and then in the message line write the word Savior, S-A-V-I-O-R, Savior. Just text me that word, 94,000, Savior, and someone on our team is going to get back to you. We'll reach out to you and we'll pray with you and encourage you in these days. If you come running unto Jesus, he will cleanse you. Jamie is over to piano. John Tyner, who normally would be sitting there, has been in Ethiopia. I talked to John when he got back, and we've got him just staying away for a few days. He's feeling great, doing tremendous after his time in Ethiopia. But he told me about a man he met while at that music conference. He said, Pastor, this man walked 3 days to get to our conference. He said he is the only Christian in the little village where he lives. He said when he became a Christian, his family disowned him and some of them beat him. He was ostracized, persecuted, and physically tormented. But he said he just keeps standing for Jesus in that little community where he was. He said he walked those 3 days, and John told me, he said, Pastor, I stood next to him in worship. And he said, there's something about a man that worships different than we do when he's paid the kind of price that he's paid. We wept together when he told me of that man. And I thought, my soul, we've complained about not being able to do a few things. And here this gentleman, he's given his all for God to be his dwelling place in every generation. What God did for that man and does for that man there in Ethiopia, he'll do for you if you come running to him like that man came running unto him. Give your heart and life to Jesus today. And when you do, text me and tell me about it at 94,000. Just send that word, Savior. If you want to join Olive Baptist Church, maybe move your membership, we'd love to have you do that today. Just send that message to us. We'd love to hear from you. I want to thank you for being a part of our online service. We'll be doing this again next Sunday. We hope we won't have to do it very long, but as long as we have to, we're going to be coming to you right here in different ways and learning how to do it better. But as we cry out unto the Lord, He will meet our needs and be our dwelling place, even in this generation. Let me lead us as we pray, and you have a marvelous Lord's Day. Father, for these that have tuned our way today, many in the Olive family and others across our land, I pray your favor to be on them today. And Lord, I pray for Siad, that man in Ethiopia. Lord, how he stirred my soul. How that story brought conviction. And I pray, God, that as he stands there, I would never be ashamed to stand here. I love you, I praise you, and thank you for our time together in worship this day. In Jesus' blessed name I pray, amen and amen. God bless you, my dear friends.
Hey guys, so we just heard a great sermon from our pastor, Dr. Ted Traylor, from Psalm 90, and he entitled that sermon, A Prayer from the Oldest Psalm. I think you would agree with me that God really spoke in a mighty way. And I'm sure you really enjoyed watching with us from home. And I'm just here with a couple of my friends and just having a dialogue of how great a word that we heard right now. John, what can you tell me? How is God speaking to you?
Yeah, I mean, just right off the bat, the context of, I think, where Moses is speaking from. Right away, we see that he's probably likely in the wilderness somewhere, in a desolate place. And man, I think we all are kind of in a desolate place or in our own wilderness right now. We're isolated. It can be desolate, and it can be tough sometimes. Even just this week, I went out to get some groceries. I went to Walmart. I tell you, that was a desolate place. It was kind of crazy in there, but praise the Lord that my desolate place looks a little different than his, but I think we can relate in that area.
Absolutely, and the most desolate place now in any grocery store is the aisle where you buy toilet paper.
That's right.
For some reason.
That's right.
Okay? Ethan, Pastor talked about weariness, you know, weary days, dangerous days. Our days are changing. What is God speaking to you now in these days that we're living in?
Yeah, I really think we need to focus in on the different verses within Psalms. And in verse 2, we see from everlasting to everlasting is that God's nature never changes, right? This is no surprise to him what's going on. And God is the same throughout eternity. How he worked with the Israelites back in the Old Testament, how he worked with the first century church in the book of Acts, and then how he's working with us now. And so we just need to be able to rely and trust in God to know that His sovereignty extends over all of us, regardless of time and where we're at as well.
Yeah, and I would agree. And based on who he is and his sovereignty and who we are as his children, even when we are in those desolate places, we can be that spring of water. Yeah. That we can apply this immediately as we go out into the public or onto our social media realm that we have around us, wherever we are in our neighborhoods, that we are a spring of water because of we serve a sovereign God and because of who he is and what he's done in us.
Absolutely. God is really moving in this time. And you may have worry of different magnitudes right now, not only in our community, but around the world. And it's true, Ethan, God is sovereign and God is in charge. And Pastor also mentioned Carson Wendell, he's there with us, about him being our dwelling place. And he quoted from 1 John chapter 4 a few verses. I encourage you to go back and read those texts again and learn from them. What is God speaking to you about him being our dwelling place?
Yeah, and so I think, you know, as we're kind of all at home right now, it's just different. And so for me and my family, my wife, we've really just, how can we make this time intentional that we spend with each other, but also with God? You know, this is kind of a different dynamic. We're both home. And it's neat. It's a cool opportunity. So we're trying to figure out different things, whether that's reading the Bible together, praying together, going on walks. You know, and I think what Pastor said too is that we know that we dwell in God by how we love one another. Right. And so even just checking on our neighbors, checking on the elderly, hey, do you need anything? Can I go to the store and get you anything? Yeah. Just as simple as that, just showing people that, hey, God is our dwelling place. Mm-hmm. Even in a time of uncertainty, in a time of fear, we know where we dwell.
Absolutely. And Carson, you work with middle school students. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes middle school students get so easily bored in these kind of times. What are some of the good word maybe you can share with our parents, how to keep their students engaged and in a growing relationship with Jesus?
Yeah, I think just be intentional with them. You know, have a plan in place. If it's just 30 minutes of family worship a day, and all you do is just you read scripture, you pray together, and you sing a song, just something that you do every day to keep them engaged. Because if not, I mean, kids, they've got video games. They're going to play those anyways. And so I think for the family, this is a unique opportunity that, like, God's forcing us to spend time together. Let's make the most out of it. And so I think if we can just draw up a plan, you know, for a week, read through James, Monday through Friday, one chapter a day. Read through it, pray through it, talk about it, and do that as a family. I think that's going to help a lot, just being intentional with that time of worship.
Absolutely.
And one thing that I just piggybacking off of what you're saying there, Carson, is I see a lot of instances where we can have servanthood evangelism going on in our neighborhoods right now. A lot of my neighbors, we just moved into a new neighborhood. They weren't outside all the time, but now everyone's outside in the front yard kind of communicating with each other at a distance, but they're still communicating with each other. And we can be intentional in the way we evangelize through servanthood evangelism, which is what you're just saying. It's like, hey, I noticed your yard's getting a little long. You haven't had the chance to go out and get gas. Would you mind if I go ahead and mow your lawn? And the great thing about this is it's been able to create a lot of opportunities for gospel conversations to occur, especially with my kids, as they're asking what's going on, why am I not at school, as much as they are rejoicing about it all. You know, they're super pumped not to be at school. Yes. It's cool because now we get the chance to interact with the neighbors and help them work through this problem, because ultimately a lot of people have been asking too that I've been coming across is, if there is a God, why would something like this happen?
Yeah.
Why would God let something like this happen? I think this gives us the incredible opportunity to step up and kind of give an answer for that.
Sure. Right. I think that's a great question. Even this week, we're listening to a Crowder song that talks about how the Lord has the whole world in his hands. Mm-hmm. And my 11-year-old, he asks me, if the Lord has the whole world in his hands, why did he send us this virus?
Yeah.
And I think that's a great question, and it gives us opportunities to share the gospel with our children and to answer, well, we live in a broken world. Absolutely. We live in a broken society, but by his grace, he can use even these difficulties for his good because of the redemptive work of the cross. One thing that you guys both talked about is family worship and your kids and all those things. So what does family worship look like for you two, Carson and Ethan?
Well, right now it's just me and my wife. We have a 2-week-old, so he doesn't really get it. And so it's just really, you know, if we can just spend time together praying, you know, reading scripture today and just talking about it. So, you know, how did the Lord speak to you? Exactly what Sean's been doing. Hey, this is what Pastor said. How is the Lord speaking to you? So we just read the scripture. Hey, how is the Lord speaking to you in this? And we keep it short. We don't want it to be something that's burdensome. We want it to be fun and lively. And so, especially if you have younger kids at home, I would encourage you, keep it short. 15, 20 minutes is enough. It's going to be good. Just make sure you're doing it.
Not a 45-minute another sermon, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's one Pastor Ted. I'm not him. So I can't do a 45-minute one.
Here we go.
Yeah, and one thing I like to do with my kids is brevity is key. I mean, it really is key with my kids because I've got a 9, a 6, and a 4-year-old, and they're actually, two of them were baptized today.
Congratulations, by the way.
Yeah, it was awesome. I was baptized here probably 20-ish years ago at Passmore Hall at the old sanctuary. But brevity with my kids is key because otherwise their mind can only be engaged in certain things for so long. And what I like to do is I just like to ask them questions like, what do you think about this is going on? Why do you think God's allowing this to happen? And then also, I like to come up with a verse and I like to just say, hey, what do you think God is teaching us in this verse here? Then what we've been doing a lot of is prayer. Mm-hmm. And I do this a lot when I get into bed with them. I'll read them a book and afterwards we'll say, all right, come up with 5 things you want to pray to God for and come up with 5 things you want to thank God for. And it's great because it's not me feeding them answers. Yeah. It's them sitting there. And it may be silly. My youngest daughter, Cora, she's like, I want to thank God for my Elsa gloves that he gave me. And I was like, oh, well, that gives me the opportunity. What about some of the children who don't have the opportunity to have that stuff? It gets them thinking, and it's a fun way to get them thinking. And it's not necessarily me just sitting down there and just hitting them over the head with the Bible.
Right.
You know, I think we often get formatting issues where we think it has to be this way. I mean, if we look at how Jesus did this, I mean, he's sitting there fishing with some guys hanging out. I mean, he's sitting there hanging out on a grassy knoll feeding people. It's not necessarily in the confines of the church. And Pastor talked about that today.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just here in the building.
That's a great word. Pastor talked about 3 points in his sermon. Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, satisfy us. And Lord, favor us. Now, friends, you're watching online. You remember back in the day when families got together and had family altars. And someone once told me when I was growing up, family altars, alters families. Family altars, alters families. And in this time that we're living in, guys, with so much going on, so much change, so much updates every day on the news in this pandemic, it's bringing the family together.
Yeah.
We have college students flying home, driving home. And perhaps you didn't plan for this because Christmas, everyone's together, and Thanksgiving, everyone's together. And this pandemic has brought everyone together. But let's use this time wisely. Parents, let's use this time wisely. You maybe have kids, college kids, who wandered away from the faith or are still asking questions about the faith. And this is a good time to just hear what our pastor says. Lord, teach us. What is the lesson that you are teaching us through this time? And whatever he's teaching you, dialogue that with your family. Because family alters family. And I love what Pastor said, John. Lord, satisfy us.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing that I would say before we get to satisfy us is he did say, Lord, teach us to pray. And we have opportunity to do that even tomorrow.
Yes.
So 6 a.m. for the next 20 days,
We
can join Pastor online. Tell us a little bit about that, Sean, before we get to Lord Satisfy Us.
Guys, tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., you want to go on olivebaptist.org. Pastor has made his home office into a studio. 6 a.m., he's going to be live, sharing with us about 7 to 10-minute devotion and leading us how to pray. I think it's an amazing time. Just wake up in the morning, grab a cup of coffee, and join Pastor live, olivebaptist.org, and you're going to find Pastor in his home study leading us in time of prayer. And that's a great digest for us in these times, how we can start our day off with our pastor, with our church family, and it's only going to grow.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're to learn to pray, but also to number our days. And a pastor talked about not only numbering our days, but numbering this day. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important that we maintain our disciplines as we number this day.
Right.
It's so easy for us to get lost into social media or the news or whatever it may be. But if we're going to number this day, we're going to maintain our spiritual disciplines. Mm-hmm. We're going to spend time reading God's word with family or by yourself, like we talked about. Spend time in prayer, like Ethan talked about. Maybe spend time in worship. But even beyond those spiritual disciplines, that we don't let our own physical and emotional disciplines lapse as well. Mm-hmm. It's important for us to continue to get outside.
Yeah.
John Tyner, we talked about the service earlier. He's at home right now, but he talked about how most of the day today he was outside
and
spending time being around nature and getting out and get some sunshine. That's important. And also maintaining physical activity, that we're out getting exercise. So we need to maintain, number our day with spiritual disciplines, but also with physical disciplines. So we talked about numbering our days, but also, Lord, satisfy us. What really jumped out at you guys that, yes, Jesus is enough.
Yeah.
The Lord does satisfy.
I think, you know, Pastor said something along the lines that when Jesus satisfies you, you will be joyful. Yeah. There will be joy. You know, in a time of really just uncertainty, just doom and gloom on the news, what a time to be joyful.
Right.
For me, it's just an encouragement that, you know, I want to choose joy. I want to choose to be joyful.
Yeah.
Choose to take this time. I had a pastor all the time that said, you know, seriousness is not a fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And a lot of times that's just kind of how we're living today. It's like, we're going to be so serious about all this stuff, and we do, but we can't lose the joy in that as well. And so just making that choice, that I'm going to be joyful because of what God's done for me.
Right.
Because of this is who He is, not through this circumstance, just because of who He is, I'm going to choose to be joyful in my life. And so that's really what stood out to me in that point, is that we just need to be joyful because He does satisfy.
Even this week, Carson and I were talking about how because of the pandemic that's around us, that idols have fallen. So things that we have searched for satisfaction in, they don't satisfy. We can't watch sports anymore. We can't do the things that we've really found much joy in. So we need to go back to finding our joy in Christ. And with those idols, it's important that we replace them with our satisfaction in Christ and nothing else. But I think kind of the natural tendency is that we replace that idolatry with another one, which is binge watching or binge interacting on social media. I read John Acuff said this week that there's a fine line between being informed and being obsessed.
Yes.
It's important that we're wise, but we can't cross that line from wisdom and being informed to just that becoming a new idol.
Yeah.
Let the idols fall and let them be replaced with Christ as is intended by Scripture.
Yeah. Well, and I think, too, a good thing to point out, and Carson, you're kind of hitting on this as well as you, John, is the church thrives in times like this. Mm-hmm. I mean, the church thrives. Not that this is necessarily a persecution right now, but this is a difficult time. This is something the first time that we've seen on this scale in a very long time. And this is when the church thrives in this kind of opportunities, because, like you said, the idols are being broken down and we're able to move on.
Absolute. You know what? Jesus is not in the tomb. He's in your room. He's with you. He's with your family. And Jesus is the answer. Hey, guys, thank you so much. Thank you so much for watching. Please stay tuned. Remember, tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., olivebaptist.org. Let's join Pastor for prayer. God bless you. And God is going to see us through this pandemic.